Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I am your host and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are excited, we are delighted, and we are grateful that God has given us another day to come into His presence. To come into His presence for singing, to come into His presence to praise this morning. For there is power in the name of Jesus. We just thank the Lord this morning because He is here already. We already say that His presence is already here. Father God, we thank You and praise You, O God, for waking us up this morning and blessing us with the gift of life this morning. We just ask, O God, that You would rain down righteousness upon us, O God, as we sow into this ministry this day, O God. We sow into this ministry, God, and we wait, O God, for You to come, O God, to rain down righteousness upon us, O God. Lord, we ask, O God, that You would touch us, O God, this morning in our inner being, O God. The anointing would destroy every yoke and remove every burden, O God, that You would lead us and guide us into all truth, O God. God, we lift up our Bishop Lincoln Wright before You, O God, this morning, Lady Wright, O God. We lift up the praise and worship team, O God. Lord, we ask You, O God, to touch our organist, Abraham, O God. I pray, God, that You would touch him. Touch this lead singer. Touch the drummer. Oh, Father, we pray that You touch all the backup singers, O God. We pray, Father God, that You would do miracles in their lives, O God, that You would draw them closer to You, or draw all of us closer to You, O God, as we yield to You this morning and every day, O God. We ask You to touch this, O God, touch every pew, touch touch the altar, O God. Let the anointing go in and destroy every yoke, O God. Remove every burden, remove the spirit of jealousy, and, O God, and uncontent, O God. I pray that this morning, O God, that Lord God, that You would do a mighty work in this place, O God. Do a mighty work in us, O God. Lord, we pray, O God, today for Sister Ponder, O God. Lord, that she struggled with her blood problem, sickle cell anemia. Lord, I pray, O God, for healing for her, O God. I pray, O God, that You would make everything right in her body, O God. Lord, let the anointing, we know the anointing is able to do all. Oh God, it can destroy what man cannot, Lord God. It can get where man cannot get, oh God. I ask, oh Lord, today, God, that you will begin to break every chain in us and with us, oh God. God, do it right now, Lord Jesus. We'll be so grateful and careful to give You all the glory and all the honor that is so due to Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. We're going to go into worship now and set the atmosphere for the Holy Spirit. We know that He's here, but He loves the music, so we're going to be worshiping right now. So just sit back, relax until the woman of God come on, and we will bless her in Jesus' name.
Fill me up, God. Oh, Thank you. God, of other music, other songs. Let your name be lifted high, Jesus. Let your name be honored, God. And we commit all that we are to you, God, and everything that we do. And we reach towards you, Jesus.
Here I am, down on my knees again, spread to be normal, spread to be normal. And find me, Lord, as you draw me in, different. Desperate for you, I surrender. I want to know you. Break every chain.
Glory, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. It doesn't matter what chain you have, what chain we have, but there's power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And he would say that at the name of Jesus, demons tremble. You know, this is why that we have to get back into be calling the name of Jesus. So many folk today don't want to call Jesus in the church, but and the enemy is shutting us down in every area of the church that we don't want to say certain things. But they tell me that there's power in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with this morning. They said that if you just call on Jesus, he'll take it away. He'll make it flee from you because it's his name. Not my name, not your name, not your mama name, but Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you for this morning that you have allowed us to just come at the foot of the cross and see that, yes, there is power in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for saving us. Oh, God, for shedding your blood at the cross, oh, God, that we, oh, God, might be able to come and drink from the fountain of life, oh, God. Father, we just ask today, oh, God, that you would speak to us through your word by your servant. And by your spirit, oh God, as we yield to you this morning, God, we ask you, oh God, to destroy every yoke, remove every burden, every hindrance, oh God, that would try to stop us, oh God, from hearing your word, oh God, from just feasting at your table this morning. We ask you, oh God, to lift it off of us this morning, oh God. Clear our minds, oh God. Get our hearts, oh God, saturated, oh God, with the water of life this morning, oh God, that it will be receptive to your word, oh God. We pray, oh God, that you would touch this woman of God, and God, use it to your glory. God, touch her tongue, touch her eyes, touch her ears, oh God. Touch her deep down in her spirit, oh God. Touch that well, oh God, that's welling up inside of her, and let it flow, oh God. Let it flow, oh God, and let the fountain flow through her, through us. Father, we'll be so grateful to give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, evangelist, you have the microphone. I'm out of the way.
Good morning, Apostle Calendar, Resurrection Power Church in Christ, Elect Lady Nancy Calendar, to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, Mother Irene, to all whom it takes to make up this congregation and this body of Christ this morning, not leaving out anyone, not calling any names because I might forget a few. But I just thank God in the name of Jesus that he allowed us to be assembled ourselves together, united as one in spirit and in truth this morning, coming together to worship him and to lift up his holy and righteous name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we say thank you this morning, O God, in the name of Jesus, as we come before your fountain, O God, empty in the name of Jesus, that you will fill us with your word, O God. Fill us, O Lord, with your power and your presence of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the anointing that flows through this place right now, God. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit, O God, that you have sent back to us, your Comforter, Father. We say thank you right now, Jesus. Have mercy upon us. Bless right now. Come now, Holy Spirit, O God. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, Father. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, that we will lift you up, that all men will be drawn unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. There may be someone this morning who don't know Jesus. This morning, there may be someone who don't know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, you can come to him now. You can come to Jesus now, just as you are. You can't clean yourself up. He wants you to come broken spirit, broken hearted, scaly, He smell it. He don't care. He just wants you to just come and surrender your heart, mind, body, and soul to him. They that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. He know your spirit, and he knows the truth. So if you'll just come just like you are today, he's waiting to receive you. You don't even have to ask, but if you just confess him with your mouth. Romans 10:9 teaches us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then it goes on to tell us in Romans 10:10, it tells us, for with the mouth, it tells us in Romans 10:10, but with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So with the mouth, when you confess, your confession is made unto salvation. I want to read it to you, not paraphrase it, so that you can hear just what the word said in the name of Jesus. So if you'll say these words with me now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you, O God, just as I am, a sinner, O Lord, broken, fragile. And Father, for you said in your word that if I confess you, Lord Jesus, with my mouth and believe in my heart, God, that you raised your son Jesus from the dead, I shall be saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I do confess you, Lord Jesus, and I do believe in my heart that you raised your son Jesus from the dead. I am saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. You are saved. Jesus recommended that you be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We recommend that you study your Bible. There are 66 books in the Bible. We recommend that you study your Bible from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospel of Acts gets you a good dictionary, a Bible concordance. From the beginning is Genesis, and the end is Revelation, the old and the new. We also recommend that you get into a Bible-based church, teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you will have an understanding as you study and read your word. The Bible teaches us to forsake not the assembly of the saints, of those who are gathered together in the name of Jesus. But the church must be preaching and teaching the conception, the birth, the life, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Know the purpose and the plan that God has for you. There be one today. You can come now, just as you are. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Our lesson for today is, the Lord rebuke thee. And we're going to come out of Jude, the entire epistle of Jude. Begin reading in the first verse. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. You know, he said, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. You know, when you multiply something, you get more than what you already have. So he said, be multiplied, beloved, third verse of Jude says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You see, here when Jude in his epistle, he was writing, and in his writing he was warning against corrupt teachers and doctrinal heresies. You know, we have a lot of doctrines these days, but there's a lot of, what he said, doctrinal heresies, because there are some who are going against the true doctrine, and he says, well, I need to write you and let you know because there has some preservation going on. I want the sanctified ones to know that by our Father, he says, by God the Father, he let you know that God is our Father and preserved. That was some preservation in Jesus Christ. And verse 4, he says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. There are some times that your faith needs to be defended. But he says, but there are certain men crept in unawares. He's letting you know there are certain men who are deceivers. They are not who you think they are. He says, for who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There are some who are going to try to seduce you in your spirit, is what Jude is saying. They're going to be telling you some doctrines that may seem like you're going in the right direction. But Jude said, I want you to know there. I am warning you because they are out there and they are deceivers of our Father. And then he tells us in verse 6, he says, there are, and the angels which kept not the first estate, but left their own habitation. And when I was reading that, it took me to Revelation, the 12th chapter. He said, and they left their own estate. Revelation, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 7th verse says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then he went on to say, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brother is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You see, salvation was promised to us. And there are some works that Satan has come to try to do. But in verse 11 of the 12th chapter of Revelation said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Satan knows that he hath but a short time. So Jude here is sending a letter, this epistle, to remind the saints, to remind the brethren and the sisters in Christ that his time is but a short time. And he says, I want you to know that there are some that are going to be creeping in unawares, and they are not who they say that they are. In verse 16, it says in the book of Jude, and the angels which kept not their first estate. You see, that's what Revelation tells us. And that's what I love about the book of Revelation, because Jesus says, I have somewhat against thee. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Many of us recognize and understand that when we first came to Jesus Christ, when we first came into the knowledge of him, and when we accepted him as Lord and Savior of our life, we were so excited. We were so on fire for God that nothing can take that first experience away from you. You know, I hear people say, a lot of people say that, well, abusers of drugs and alcohol, they said, there's nothing like the first high. Well, see, I've never been, so I can't talk too much about that. But I remember the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. I fell down on my knees, and I began to cry out to the Lord, holy, holy, holy. And even on my way home, I just could feel his presence and his spirit all around me, all over me, how he empowered me and endowed his love upon me. And I said, Lord, I thank you. But when I got home, I went into the front room and I was down on my knees and I was just there, just in the spirit, and I was just praying and talking to God. But when I finally come out, my husband looked at me. He says, honey, I have to tell you that your way of living has changed. You can't live the way that you used to live. You can't walk the way that you used to walk. Things that you used to say, you can't say no more. And he just began to just minister to me. There were times when he was in his study, he would just study, and I would just go there and listen to the door. I would never interrupt his praying and his study time with God. But I would walk to that door and I would hold my ear to the door and just listen to him pray. Because it would be just God and him. And then that day, I finally understood. And so same way it is with us. When we got Jesus just commissioned us, he said, go back to your first estate. Remember from which thou art fallen is what Jesus has said to us today. Come back to him. And there are some today, even when we gave the prayer of salvation this morning, there are some who backslided. But you know what? Jesus don't care about none of that. All of that is you can put it behind you because he's waiting for you to come back to him. He wouldn't have made a way for you to come back if he was going to hold it against you. He said, nevertheless. But he also said, repent. And come back to him, return. So verse 6 says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. You know, they sing the song, God's now getting us ready for that great day. Who shall be able to stand? Who shall be able to stand? God is now getting us ready for that great day. Who shall be able to stand? Verse 7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner. You know, he said, and the cities about them in like manner. When I was growing up as a child, I only thought that it was only homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah. But when it says that, that means that it was sin, nothing but sin, nothing but filth, nothing but darkness. So he reminded us, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the defiled place, place of fornication, place of lasciviousness, these things that Jude was telling us about in verse 4. He says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. He's talking about the divine vengeance of God. He's talking about the hands and the wrath of God. And he says an eternal fire. But the Lord told us that there will be a fire that won't go out. You can't put the flames out. Water won't get the flames out. There are going to be many who are going to be crying, Lord, Lord, from the flames of fire, but the fire will never go out. The worms will never stop crawling. And it tells us that this is a divine vengeance. And in verse 8 it says, likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. That's why we have to always tell our minds, we have to call our minds under the submission of the Holy Ghost. We have to call our thoughts and our spirit. We have to bring it back. We have to speak to ourselves. Why? Because the flesh and the spirit war against each other. And so therefore we have to call, speak into our own lives. We have to speak over ourselves and bring our flesh back into submission under the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. And he says in verse 9, it says, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. This is divine reproof from God. And that's why our message comes from today is talking about that divine reproof from God. The Lord God rebuke thee. And then it also tells us in Luke, the 17th chapter, and the 3rd verse says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. So he told us, dude said, the Lord rebuked thee. He said, even when the devil was trying to wrestle with Michael, when Michael was throwing him out, when he had to be cast out from heaven into the earth, he wanted to dispute with him about the body of Moses because they don't know where Moses lay. God didn't show man where Moses lay. So he wanted to have a dispute with him. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So you see, sometimes in our lives, even in our own homes, in our own families, there are some who have an alternate agenda from which we live. So the word of God tells us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And there were times in my life I would say, Lord, now how do I do this in my own home? But you got to rebuke. Even in your own home, you got to rebuke. You got to reprove and reproof even in your own home. And it tells us in 1 Timothy 5:20, them that sin rebuke before all that others also may fear. And it all tells us in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. When I read that, it sent me to Titus, and I began to go to the Titus in the 1st chapter of Titus, and it begins reading at verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not to, for filth and lucre's sake. You know, you get in there and you want to get in the pulpit. You don't want to teach what thus said the Lord. But because you're getting paid a little money, well, Reverend, we don't want you to preach this today, Apostle Callender. We don't want you to preach this today. This doctrine that you preach, too many people going to get saved. So, you know, in this doctrine that you preach, we might lose our ability to practice medicine, Apostle Callender. If you keep preaching this doctrine, Apostle Callender, people ain't going to be able to go to the doctor, but we ain't going to be able to get that money when they check come at the first of the month, Apostle Callender. So what we're going to do is pass you some money. So that's what they were saying. This filth of lucre. But you know, I can hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, no, Apostle Callender, saying, for God I live and for God I'll die. And so that's where we come in as children of God. For God we live and for God we die. No matter what men may say, no matter what men may do, we got to tell them to keep that filthy lucre to themselves. And it says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own sin. The Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Tell the truth. Reprove and rebuke them, no matter what he said. He said, rebuke them sharply. How shall you rebuke them sharply? With the word of God. The word of God is to stand on the truth and the promise. He says, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, is nothing pure. but even their minds and conscience is defiled. They got carnal minds. You see, when they haven't been transformed, their minds have not yet been transformed. They still walk around in the mortality of their defiled carnal minds, and they say that they know him, but they don't know him. They just know of him. They heard about him, but they have not yet walked in wholeness with him. They don't have the relationship with him. They have fallen away from the vine. He says in verse 16, they profess that they know God, hallelujah, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good works reprobate. See, unto every good works reprobate, evil works, hypocrisy, just hypocrites, false professions, having people going in the wrong direction, and then you're wondering what's going on, because you're trying to, because of your itchy ears, trying to follow every wind and doctrine, going to and fro here and there. Instead of waiting, he says, be steadfast. Be ye steadfast. Be unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. So those itchy ears will take you in some places that you don't want to go. They will cause you to do some things in your flesh, that, and you will begin to weep and moan and cry and say, Father, forgive me. But I challenge you today. I charge you today in the name of Jesus. Get up and brush yourself off and go forth. Too many times we go back. We got to start all over again. It's time out for starting over again. Get up. Get up. And get yourself together. Brush yourself off and say, Father, forgive me. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord God rebukes thee today. And God just wants us to come back to him. He wants us to repent and just come back. Verse 10 tells us, but these speak evil of those things. I'm in Jude, 10th verse. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, and those things, they corrupt themselves. You see, when we follow false profession, we follow false doctrine, those itchy ears will have us corrupting our own selves. You know, I asked a person one time, thank you, Holy Spirit, I asked a person one time, I said, it seems like you're trying to make a fool out of me. They said, no, you're making a fool out yourself. And I had to think about that thing. They say, no, you're making a fool out yourself. See, we have to understand, if we have to make the choice, God allow us to make choices for ourselves. So if you choose to do wrong, if you choose to go in a way that you know that's not right, you are making a fool out yourself. Nobody can make a fool out of you.
Man.
So that's what we have to understand. And when that person said that to me, all I could do was just stand there and look. And I begin, you know, that's why the Word of God teaches us, examine your own self. So we quick to false accuse. We quick to accuse somebody else. So, see, even when Satan was after Job, thank you, Holy Spirit, even when God turned him loose, Job cursed the day. He said, I'll make him curse you to your face. But he didn't curse God. But he cursed the day. He cursed the day in which he was born, which he gave birth, in which he was conceived. The Job cursed that day. But then God reminded him, you don't have a day. I brought you into this world. God had to even remind him that it was him that brought him through this. So you see, when we are challenged, you have to use your own mind to think for yourself. Someone trying to challenge you to go in a different direction, in a direction that you know is wrong. If you commit adultery, then nobody make a fool out of you. That man or that woman didn't make you have that relationship with them. You made a fool out your own self.
Amen.
And here we are. And this is what it's saying. This is what it's saying to us today. He says, for the gainsaying of Korah. Verse 12 says, these are spots in your feast of charity. You brought these spots to yourselves. It's saying, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds, they are without water, carried about of winds. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Say twice dead, plucked up by the roots, meaning it won't give no life. If it's plucked up by the roots, you go out there and you pull that plant up, and you pull those that weed up out of your garden and out of your yard. You try to make sure that you get the root up, because you know if you pull the root up, if you pull that weed up and you pull it up by the root, you know it's not coming up again. But you want to make sure that you dig it down, and if it break off, you say, I got to get the root. Because once you pull that root up out of that soil, out of that earth, it cannot live again. It's dead. So it says plucked up by the roots, wicked, rooted up, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Say the darkness. David said, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And so that's what Jude is telling us. He's warning us against the wickedness, against dark places and darkness and areas in our life. He's saying there's going to be some future of wickedness coming. And he says in verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against. And that's one of the things that he was telling us. And God, we know that God is truth. In Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter and the 4th verse says, he is the rock. God is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, and a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. 2 Samuel 7:28 told us, and now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Psalms 146:6 says, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Psalm 63:11 says, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Proverbs 19:5 says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Isaiah 44:25 says, the frustrated, the tokens of the liars, and make it diviners mad, and turn it wise men backwards, and make it their knowledge foolish. But the fearful and the unbelievers in Revelation 21:8 says, and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and liars, idolaters, shall have their part, and the lake was burning with fire and brimstones, which is the second death. And that's what it tells us. That's what Jude is saying to us. This is the message that he's relaying to us. He says, twice dead, plucked up by the root. And Jude was telling us about that eternal fire that will never go out. He says, suffering in vengeance of eternal fire. Verse 16 said, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Talking about their evil desires, their sinful walk, this blaspheming. He says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, Jude was warning us. He said, having many persons in admiration because of advantage. They want to take advantage. But remember, the words were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, so see, this spiritual foundation that you have placed your hope on, we are servants, and we have to have a spiritual foundation. We can't build our lives on sand, on sinking sand, but we must build our lives on a strong foundation, a spiritual foundation, and which is the Word of God. He says, having, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know, the songwriter sang the song, Eternal Life. Eternal life. That's what I'm searching for, is eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life. That's what I'm searching for, eternal life. And that's what we are searching for, eternal life. That's why Jude placed this warning out here. Jude said, this is just a reminder. But remember the prophets before who taught this. Even before Jesus Christ, the prophets have warned you that these days will come. He said, so keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, how are you going to win somebody if you don't have no compassion, if you don't have a loving and a sincere heart? We got to have compassion toward one another. Too many times we think, well, let them get it. I had to get it my way. Let them get it their way. No, that when you had to get it, God allowed you to get it that way, and God allowed you to go through those trials, those tribulations, that you could be triumphant, that he would get the glory of your life so that you can bring somebody else in, so that you can win souls, so that you can keep them from going down that path. Do we know how much time is being wasted while we're being selfish, while we're being self-centered and conceited? Do we know how much time we're wasting kingdom time? Now, if they reject you, that's a different story. But if you see them going the wrong way, tell them the right way. Give them an opportunity to choose to be foolish or to be wise. We're wasting too much of kingdom time. We're wasting too much of God time. Don't we know that we have to tithe our time as well? Don't focus on just money, but tithing is part of your time. It's part of tithing as well. And all of this time that we have belongs to God. He is a redeemer of the time. And so when we see one going the wrong way, we need to despise the sin, not talk about them, not put down on them, but begin to have compassion for them. And others, in verse 23, it says, verse 22 says, and of some having compassion, making a difference. Verse 23, and the Jude, the epistle of Jude, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, tearing down strongholds. It is our duty to pull them out of the fire. It says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And that's what I was saying. We got to despise the sin, but we got to be able to pull them out of the fire. You see my children going in the wrong direction, don't let them keep going. Stop them. God has given us a way to talk to people, being as children, Christians, born again, baptized, Holy Ghost filled believers. God will allow us, when we go to him, when we perceive that something is not right, God will give us what to say to pull them out of that fire. We have been commissioned by God. We are accountable. And people, I want to let you know today, we are valuable to the kingdom of God. We are valuable. Why? Because we are here to win souls. Verse 23 says, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, talking about sin. You know, some of us wear sins on our shoulder. Some are proud that they are sinners. Some are just ignorant to the fact that they don't understand. They don't know. They haven't had anyone to tell them. I've come across a few people who don't even know Jesus. Still in this century, in this day, they don't understand who Jesus is. They don't know about Jesus. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. But, you know, we can't take anything for granted. There are still people who don't know about Jesus. And that's why it's important. That's why we are valuable to the kingdom, because we have been commissioned by God to pull them out of the fire, even that garment of sin that they're wearing that has spotted their flesh. We have been commissioned to speak to the whoremongers. We have been commissioned to speak to the gamblers. We have been commissioned to speak to the adulterers, the liars, the backbiters. We have been commissioned by God to do a great work. Verse 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, a divine ability. Revelations 22, the 22nd chapter of Revelation. Let me get that so I won't paraphrase it. I'll read it. Revelations, the 22nd chapter, verse 19. Says, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Talking about the Christ, the grace of Christ Jesus. So you see, brothers and sisters in Christ, salvation is here today. The saints be glorified and glorifying God. And that's what the 24th verse of Jude is telling us. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to keep you from falling. In Revelation, the 14th chapter, beginning reading at the first verse, it tells us, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood in the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Having his father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So, brothers and sisters, today, we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And that's what Jude is telling us today, that there are going to be some who come to deceive us, but we can't be deceived. We got to stand on God. We got to wait on God's unchanging hand. Verse 4 in Revelation, the 14th chapter, says, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And that is what Jude is telling us today, that these are they that have not been defiled. So you see, brothers and sisters, when the enemy comes to you and in those wool clothing, looking like a lamb
but they are really wolves in wolves' clothing. Their clothes look like sheep clothing, but they ain't no sheep. They are wolves waiting to destroy you. They come to tempt you with their heresies and their false doctrines. They come to tempt you with filthy lucre, saying that if you do this way, it'll go this way. But I said, you notice today, Satan don't have the right to challenge you with what you already belongs to you. The kingdom has already been promised to you. So if you stand on the promise of God, Satan tried to tempt Jesus with what was already his. So I'm saying to you today, it belongs to you already. Satan knows that, and that's why he's trying to get you to go against the will of God. You see, he was thrown out of heaven, so he knows what heaven is already about. He knows that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. He knows that heaven is a place that is prepared for those without spot or wrinkles in their garments. So you got to be ready today, brothers and sisters in Christ. You got to be ready. And Jude is warning us today. He come back with another warning to let us know, not unto now or to him that is able to keep you falling and to present you faultless before the presence of the glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. You know that God is eternal. The power of God lies within you. So when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, why do you keep saying that over and over, evangelist? Because only through salvation that you will see Jesus. Only through salvation that you will have this eternal victory. Hallelujah. Then it's the only way. Only way. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But I want you to know, will you spend eternal life with it? Will your life be eternal? Will it be eternal life for you today? Or will it be eternal damnation? The question is for you to examine yourself. The choice is yours today. So begin to rebuke those that come to you that will allow you to spot your flesh, to spot your garment. Put off that gossip. Put it away from you. He says, these are they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. These are they who have not been defiled with no guile coming out of their mouth. So you see, when men come to you, and brothers and sisters, when one comes to you with gossip, we have to rebuke it right then. We have to stop it. Not be so anxious to hear and want to know what they said, but we stop and teach them, this is how you handle this. As children of God, don't let them bring you junk and garbage. As my dad would say, you're not a broken refrigerator. Because if your refrigerator is broken and if it's not getting any power, whatever you put in it, it's going to spoil. So if you keep allowing people to bring you junk, you keep allowing people to bring you garbage, eventually you'll be spoiled. The Lord God rebuke thee. Apostle Calendar.
Yes, thank you so much, woman of God. We bless the Lord for the word. And I even though I had it as the Lord rebuke thee, when I put it in, but it's the same thing, the Lord rebuke you. But powerful, powerful, powerful message. A lot of scriptures, a lot of time. God is doing a great work. We just thank the Lord for the woman of God. Father, we just thank you for this word. We thank you, O God, for the vessel that brought forth your word, O God, and broke bread on your table this morning for your children, O God. We pray that today that, God, that you would even refill her, call her, cause her cup to overflow. God, we pray as even as the word went forth over the airwaves, God, that it hit the four corners of this earth, oh God, and the folk that would hear it, oh God, even as we heard it, God, that they will not be the same, oh God. They will recognize that they have to make a decision. We all have to make a decision that we are going to live and serve you all the days of our lives, oh God, that we are not going to play church, but we are going to be the church, oh God. We are going to live that when the world see us, oh God, they want to come to get to know you, O God. We pray, O God, for, O God, a fresh outpouring of your anointing, O God, to continue to cover each and every one of us, O God. Let the anointing continue to destroy the yokes. We are over 88,000 people right now. We are 88,200 and something. We thank God for what's going on, how God's reaching people. More and more people are getting the word all over the world, even right here in the United States of America, and they're telling people to go on and listen to the services, listen to the word of God. Because this, I know they always tell me, and I wish I could just tell them, but a lot of people say these blog talk ministries that the show is going to begin at this time and that time, and blog talk always tell you that the show is going to begin at a certain time. But in my mind, it's not a show. This is a service. This is a ministry to the world. That's why I just delete almost 35 people off my page, because I don't want people on my page, even though I don't want people coming on my page and putting a lot of stupid stuff on there that is not edifying for folk. I'm not out for playing games and that stuff. There's too much stuff going on in the world today that we as laborers, we got so much time to play. We got so much time to play Farmville and Golfville and we call it bingo this and slot machine and all this stuff. We got too much time playing. You know, I'll tell you the truth, Evangelist. We are playing. The Christians I've seen on that call themselves Christians on Facebook, they got too much time playing games when they should be posting something to convict somebody's heart, somebody's spirit to want to get close to Jesus. The time is drawing nigh. That's why he said the harvest is ready, but the labor's a few weeks. We're spending too much time playing these games. And it's not saying that to help nobody to get their life in order. People are dying and going to hell because these Christians on Facebook, I call them so-called Christians, that they got too much time to play. Every time I look around, five or six of them send me, I want to invite you to play Farmville's slot machine, slot this, bingo this. I get to a point now, I tell them I don't play games, you know, and I get to a point now I don't even answer them anymore. I don't answer them anymore. I don't even respond to them anymore because I see that they're so foolish they don't understand. I tell them I don't play games already. Stop sending me that stuff. I'm a hear book, my father's business. That's my job. If you don't want to hear it, go somewhere on another page. That's all right with me. I'm still going to do what I'm doing. This is good message this morning. Strong man. Yes, ma'am.
My daughter called me the other day, and she came up here because her phone is off, and she said her husband called her from work. He called somebody and told him to take her the phone, and he told her, he says, "What is Candy Crush?" And she told him it was a game. He says, "I want to tell you something," and he's not saved. He told my daughter, he says, "Candy Crush is a devil's game." He said, "I'm going to tell you, it belongs to the devil." And my daughter said, she asked her husband, "Why do you say that, Doug?" He said, "Because everybody just about down here on this job, when they go on break, they playing Candy Crush." He said, I'm telling you, that's a devil's game. Now, he don't play games. He ain't born again, but he don't play games and stuff. But he was telling me, he called my daughter just to tell her that if you playing this game, I'm telling you, that's a devil's game. She came and told me what he said.
Yeah, you were surprised how many people is taken to that. That's the latest game now on the computer. And everybody, I mean, they got bishops, they got deacons, man, everybody, they're on up to them. And I got maybe my five or six invitations to play Candy Crush. You know what? I ain't even respond to that people because I don't have time for it. I don't have time for it. I don't play any games. They say, "Well, let's go to play cricket." I could play cricket, but I don't play because I try to get as much word I can get inside of my spirit. They say, "Well, you don't have no time to play." Oh yes, I play my grandkid, I play my family and so on, but I don't have time to waste now. Time is growing too close. Look around and see what's happening. People of God, look around and look at the news. Read the newspaper in your neighborhood. They still got newspapers because they got the newspaper on the computer. You got to read it. But let's read and see what's happening. Go on BBC News, and you'll see what happened. I just got my magazine from, because we support the Jewish Israel, My Glory. And I just got that, and I was looking at that this morning, see how many Christians, we don't hear all this stuff on the local news, but in BBC News, how many Christians got killed in Egypt just yesterday? Just because they have a mass funeral for multiple Christians. There was like almost at one point, there was like 300 and some Christians buried at one time. And then today, I just got in the book. I didn't even look at the number. Such a large number of Christians that were just slaughtered because of who they are and who they're worshiping, because they're not walking for Islam. And we get around here fooling around, say, "Well, you." And then the preacher get up on the pulpit and say, "Girl, do you know I've been thankful." The preachers, all of them, they're saying the same thing. So many preachers. They said, I'm up to 4,000, 5,000 points of this on Candy Crush. I said, it's the devil. It truly is the devil. Because how the devil can divert your mind from releasing something about Jesus if you're talking about Candy Crush? So you're certainly all right. It is a devil game. Because it captivated even the Christians and got them so engulfed in it that they won't have time to study the Word of God. They spend time playing on the computer when they could be putting some scriptures on to help somebody. We thank God for you, woman of God. We thank God. Come back on and support somebody. I know you're working and you're busy, but when you are not on, come on and support these people, because these people, that woman, Trusty Kiet, delivered a powerful message on Saturday. I mean, it was quick, but powerful. Oh my God! I told her she had to slow down, because you know, not just getting the word on, but slow down and get the word so people can get it, and you can give them more, because the Holy Spirit like to talk, but sometimes we rushing to get it down. And I told her, I said, slow down. Not a rebuke, just trying to get you so the people, because we're touching people all over the world. Glory to God, all over the world. I'm gonna have that. She just got back. I'm gonna have her. And look, we just had it. We just prophesied over one of the daughters on the line. She just got her net, a new car. Actually new, because it's new to her. But it looks good. New minivan. Plush leather inside. A powerful stereo system. All kind of stuff. Yes, inside the thing. I mean, she got that tender lambskin leather inside that machine. God is doing stuff. Just got on this line, and God blessing her already. God blessed her, freed the house up from all types of spirits that was tormenting the house. God cleaned the house. They're all able to sleep now. And man, God is just doing the miracles through the people that is part of this line. And we just thank God. People are getting blessed. And now, you know, I get so excited. They said, "Why are you so excited?" Because I know when God bless one of these dear kids on this line, I'm going to get blessed too. Why? Because my Bible told me he's no respected person. I was just looking at the scripture here in Psalm 138. And the Bible says, he says that though the Lord be high, yet have he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knew from far off. And I was looking at that scripture. That scripture just jumped in my spirit. I said, "Jesus, you know, that God is so high and mighty. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But if we would just humble ourselves in his presence, guess what? God puts his eyes on us. And those that are so puffed up and think they've got it all together, guess what? He watched them from afar off. That's a place you don't want to be. You don't want to be afar off from God. But you want God to look at you even though you're lowly right here next to him. That's the place. We thank God for this word. We're going to open the line. I'm going to have the evangelist Baxter come in Thursday. She can come in on Thursday. See, not about that. I don't have to teach you. I'll get back and just listen to you all and let you all fill me up. But come on and support each other, okay? I want you all to come on and support each other, because we are strong. The chain is as strong as each link. You know, it is as strong as each link. When one link is weak, the whole chain is weak. It's weak. Because that's the place the devil's going to hit. So we got to support each other. When we are not preaching and when we are preaching, somebody support us. So I'm going to open the line now for you all to share a prayer or say whatever the Lord lay on your heart. The line is open. The line is open. Evangelist Boxer, she's on the line.
Apostle Calendar, just walked in. Did you? Oh, are you talking to me?
No, I see Evangelist Boxer's online, but she's not saying anything. What I need you to do, if you could pray for.
I am saying something, Apostle. Hello, I am saying something. I didn't hear you.
I know. Hear you. That's the first time you say something.
Well, because my phone was acting up, Apostle. I had to go to the Apple store. I tell you something.
Oh, you got one of the phones.
Yeah, I got it.
Go ahead.
Same old thing. Praise the Lord. God bless everybody. I just thank God for the word of God. Vandis Campbell, you really blessed my soul today. Keep letting the Lord bless you, real good woman of God, because God got great things in store for you. Yeah, we are valuable to the kingdom, but we got to know that for ourselves that we're valuable. If we don't know it, nobody's going to tell us. So I thank the Lord for all that you said. You fed my soul today, and that's what I look forward to. And that's why I need my phone working well. Also, before we leave the line, that young lady I told you about, Shantae, she's in an unconscious state at Beth Israel, and I'm going over there Thursday, me and another sister, to lay hands on her. They got all kinds of machines on her. They got just too much stuff.
Beth Israel. What county is that in?
It's in Boston, Brookline.
In Brookline? Text me the address and text me when you are going on there. I'd like to go down there with you guys. Just text me the address.
Okay. I'd love to have you to come because we're going. Yeah, I will text it to you. But anyway, God is good. I just want it. But, Apostle, I thought you told me you want me to do it Friday. So you want me to do Thursday?
You can come in Thursday because Keisha will do Friday. You come in Thursday.
Okay,
I'm going to do it tomorrow.
No problem. Okay, no problem. I just wanted to know. Okay.
If any changes go, I will let you know. Because I'm trying to work around Keisha because, you know, she's pregnant and she's doing a lot. She has a lot of appointments she's going. So when her appointments, is she got time available, I'll let her come in and train her so she can be ready to do what God wants her to do.
Yeah, that's good. My daughter that you said that she's going to get blessings in the next 45 days, she went out to look at a house the other day.
My Lord.
She packed up her boxes. So she showed me this house.
The Lord is not stopping blessing. I told you for 45 days.
Yes,
for 45
I
days, she's going to get blessings all the time.
Yeah, she's moving. She's packing up. She don't want no more apartment. She got a box back. She said she showed me the house. And the house is gorgeous. I said, go ahead. That's impossible. Said the next 45 days.
That's right. God is able.
I thank God for you. He's able, so I just thank God. Thank God for you all. This person that came back yesterday, I'm charged up again. I had some rocking and reeling on the Delta. Glad to be back.
Now you got to go look for your car.
Yeah, I got to wait for you. When are you going to bring me?
Why don't you get some time? When you got time, you know, when we're not on the way, I can pick you up and take you.
About Saturday? No, Saturday I got to get my hair done.
Saturday's busy for us. Saturday's ministry, and then I got to go down the street taking out trucks. But if we go to church on Sunday, we can go right out to church.
I am coming to church on Sunday. You going to be able to do that for me, pick me up or no?
Sunday, let's see. Because, you know, it's hard for me. Let me see what time. Let's send me your address and stuff, and I'll see if I can work around the time get to you.
I was going to meet you at Mattapan Square. You know where that is?
Okay. Yeah, I know Mattapan Square is.
So I can meet you there on Sunday.
Okay.
But I'll talk to you more about it. But I just love the Lord, guys. Just keep going.
I will get you.
Okay, so I'll talk to you about I'll call you back later on that. But I just think, I want to encourage all the people out here. Be encouraged. Your help is on the way. Miracles are on the way. You're on Blessing Boulevard. You're on the break of a breakthrough. Don't give up before you break through. Just hang on there and watch God move. He's going to move. He's doing things. My friend told me, Apostle, she went and got a 2007 for a little bit of nothing. I said, I'm not in line. So I just thank God. So pray for me as I pray for you. And I just love you all. Vandis, Sister Campbell, I hope I meet you. Vandis Campbell, I hope you meet you because you have a beautiful spirit. Keep preaching. Because you got to do what the Lord says to do. Who cares? He's accepting my rejection.
That's right.
Holiness or hell across the board. So I didn't say it. The Lord said it. So be encouraged. I love you all. God bless. Thank you for this time, Apostle.
God bless you so much. God bless you so much, woman of God. We just truly thank the Lord for you. And we thank the Lord for what he's doing in everybody's life, you know, because I'm the kind of person, I'm not jealous over nobody. I'm telling you the truth. when I get so excited, people tell me, "Why you get excited because about getting blessed?" I said, "Why? Because my God, He's my God. He's my God." And I get to that place where I'm taking it from drawing from Paul. And I don't like to talk too much about Paul, but I like to talk about Jesus. I'll tell you the truth. I like to talk about Jesus. But I'm drawn from Paul because I like that with Paul when he was talking to the Philippian church, that Paul had such a relationship with Jesus after his encounter in Damascus that he started talking about my God. And I get to that place when I talk, praying for people, and I say, you know what, my God is able to heal you. I just get so bold. I tell them, say, look, my God is able to heal you, because if you don't know that if you don't believe that your God can, who else gonna believe? Ain't nobody gonna believe. You have to get to that place. We got to get to that place where we believe that my God, your God, is able to do it. Your God, hallelujah! I'm not waiting on Benny Hinn God. I'm not waiting on T.D. Jakes God or Creflo Dollar God Judge Meyer God or nothing. I'm my God, my God. That's why I spend so much time in Him. Thinking about Him, worrying about Him, focusing on Him, not really worrying about Him, but getting myself in a place where I could hear Him. Because I don't have to worry about God. God got it all together. He got it together. I'm the one trying to get it together. But you know, and I get to that place where I'm so excited about Him. I say, Lord God, I know God will do it. I know He'll do it, because He told me that. He told me that. Then, you know, I looked at the word. He said, if you call on me, He said, son, I'm gonna answer you. My God. He told the man, one guy went to Jesus back there in the book of Matthew. I'm just paraphrasing because I'm not looking because I just hear it in my spirit. And he told Jesus, he said, look, my son's sick, and nobody can heal my son. And he said, but Jesus, I want you to heal my son. Jesus looked at the man. He said, do you believe I can do this thing for you? He said, yes, Lord, I believe, but have my own belief. Here's what the man told Jesus. He said, Jesus, look, I got some faith, but I also got some doubt. So I need you to help that part of me that doubted. Look, guess what happened? Jesus healed his son. But we don't want to go to God and tell God that we got some doubt. We want to walk around acting like we got it all together. Ain't nothing happening. Ain't nothing happening for us. God said, come to me, all you that live in heavy laden. So if you got some stuff going on, go on to God. Go on to God. Say, Lord God, that's helped me in this area of my life. Help me in this area of my life. I'm not going to fool myself, let the devil trick me and say, well, oh, you got it all together. You ain't got to worry about it. Because the devil said, if you go where your health is, you're going to get some help. That's the problem. If you go where your health is, you're going to get some help. And your help coming from the Lord, the one that made heaven and earth. I'm not talking about Lord and Taylor. I'm talking about Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. That's where your help comes from. We got to go there. And we got to go there in faith. Don't you waver and doubt because you're in sin. Because God's not operating on the apostle time. He's not operating on the bishop time. He's not operating on the deaconess time or the deacon time or the evangelist time or the prophet or prophetess time. He's operating on His time. And guess what? He never late. He's always on time. What he told Job. He told Job to some stuff. But the one I'm looking at is, I'm saying in my spirit now, is no. He told Noah that folk was acting the same way we acted. The same way we acting all around Boston. Boston changing everything else. That everything that looked like God, they're changing. If you talk too much, they block you up. If you say too much of Jesus, they'll put you away. All over America is happening now. Because they don't want you to say anything. You know who got more rights in America now? Homosexuals and lesbians got more rights than the Christian. They got more rights than the most people. And then they start to rate themselves with the things that happened to black folk 400 years ago in slavery. That what were they going through, just like with blacks? You cannot compare lesbianism or homosexualism with slavery. You cannot compare that. And they do that, and they get away with a whole bunch of stuff. But guess what happened? Don't think God is sleeping. I just want to let you know that. God not sleeping. The people in Sodom and Gomorrah, they thought God was sleeping too. Guess what? And when the angel showed up and started to turn all stuff to brimstone, guess what? They wanted to come then, but it was too late. The angel told Job, Lot, don't you look back. Lot, don't you look back. Let your family keep looking. But the wife still, she still had, you know, we always get to that place. We still want to have, we still love that old lifestyle. We can't stay away from it. She loved that promiscuous lifestyle. So she had to look back at it. And when she looked back, what happened? She turned to a pillar of salt. Things that are happening now, they say yesterday, I heard a weatherman says, he said, the hurricanes and the storms start early. They start early, God on time. God on time. Because what we doing? Listen to me, people. This is prophetic. It's in the Bible. We are forcing the hand of God. Listen, people. We are forcing the hand of God. Don't think that we're not doing it. We're doing it. Because we're taking good and making it look like evil. And we're taking evil and making it look like good. Right here in this country. I love America. Don't think I don't love it. I love America. But God is upset. Even though God, he is upset. God is not pleased with us. He not pleased with us. We are doing our own thing. And we are forgetting about God. We're doing our own thing. We want to please ourselves. And then folk don't want to pray. In New York City, a woman goes down the street. She takes off all of her top clothes. She got all of her breasts exposed walking on the street. And then she's going to court, having a big old thing with the judges and fighting against the court because she wants to pass a law that women should be able because men can walk around. It's a difference. A man being back, he don't have no breasts and all that stuff. And it doesn't look like when a woman, well, they want to walk down the street. And they're working on that in New York City. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? This is where the world is going to. Where soon they'll be walking on plumb naked. Because that's where the world is going to. The devil is busy. The devil is busy. If we don't get on our game plan and start to minister the word of God, and just like the evangelist says, we have to, even though they're acting foolish, we got to reach down in the trench and pull them up. Show them the way. We got to be the light in this dying world. But we don't want to. No, we want to. Guess what? We want to play Candy Crush. Look, we don't have no time to share the truth. Because what? We want to play Candy Crush. We want to play bingo. We want to go play the slots. They got the slots on the computer. I just saw this woman here lose all of her money because they say you can put your credit card in some of the real games on the computer and play just like if you was in Las Vegas. And this woman lose all her stuff and got to even forfeit her house. I saw this stuff, real. Gambling right in her living room. Didn't go to work. All she's doing is gambling. Borrowing on her credit cards and everything going. This is the time, this is what we're living, the time we're living at. It is real, people. Don't think that's not real. And they say, look, the same chips that they're putting in the dogs, my little dog, my wife just got this little dog from my granddaughter. He is a nuisance. She's a nuisance, though, that little dog. I mean, little nuisance. And but they love the dog. He's too small. I just don't like that little dog. But anyway, that dog, she got a chip in her. She came from the place, the pound where they got this dog. She come from somewhere in Texas. And she came with it. They put a chip in her. The same chip that they put in this dog is the chip that they're putting in the people. When you go in the hospital, if you go to the doctors and you are, I told them, if you're on low income and you get subsidized from the government and you have to go to Medicare or something like that, I don't know what the different things yet, but you go, make sure you have a family member with you because they're going to slip that chip in you. Same thing to do with the black women, ...125 years ago, down south. They sterilized them so they couldn't make no babies. Listen to me. They didn't have sense enough to have family with them because, you know, they didn't allow them to go to school. They were illiterate. And they sterilized their system so they couldn't make no babies. Hallelujah. To keep the race down. Listen to me. I'm not a prejudiced person. I'm just telling you what the government did to the race. And now they're doing to everybody, blacks, white, Latinos, don't care what color you are, they put a chip on your skin so they can monitor you. Because that's what they said in the book of Revelation. You have the mark of the beast. People looking for a big mark with a thing on you. No, it's going to be under your skin. It's going to be a computer mark. So when you go to the hospital, make sure you take one of your daughters, your son, your grandson, somebody, and tell them keep an eye on the surgeons. Ask questions. What are you doing that? Why you got to do that? Don't go in there like a dumb person. The doctor said, well, you got to get cut here. Why are you cutting me? Why do I have to get cut? Ask questions. This is the time you have not called. You ask better when you ask, commit, ask questions. Don't go in there and let the people say, well, we got to cut her neck here because we think there's a growth on the skin. Well, let me see on the x-ray what the x-ray is showing. And if you got somebody that has some medical understanding, bring them with you. Because you don't want to be a target for the system. Wherever you go, they know where you go. Whatever you do, they know what you do. That's the mark of the beast. That's the mark of the beast. We have to pay attention. That's why we have to get and don't get in this law. Every time they look around, they want to play games. I don't have time for it. Call me naive or whatever you want to say. I'm about my father's business. Because if he call me home, I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have done what I commissioned you to do. I wasn't always trying this hard, but I'm trying hard now. Because like I always tell the folk, I don't cross all the T's and I don't dot all the I's. But the ones that he loved me to see, I'm dotting. And the ones he loved me to see, I cross. Guess what? I want the evangelists to come in and pray for Sister Christina. Pray for Sister Sharita. I don't know if she got a word, if she's able to say something. Pray for Kiet. Pray for Mother Irene. And pray for Sister Eileen, Prophetess Marcella, and for Keisha. Okay, whatever the Lord put on your heart. Once you finish doing all that, we can close the line. I'll be back on tomorrow, and after tomorrow, then the evangelist will come on Thursday, and hopefully Keisha will be here on Friday, and Saturday afternoon at 12:30. I want you all to come on. We had a good time on Saturday at 12:30. Come on, go back and listen to the message. Powerful message. People have been calling me and telling me about the message. Kiet will be ministering on Saturday. Okay? Line is open for the evangelist to do her stuff. I pray for the line and for the people. Thank you so much. And then we'll close the line if nobody don't have anything to say.
Talking off the calendar, did you get a chance to talk to Mother Irene?
No, I didn't get a chance to talk to her. I was tied up yesterday, but I'm going to call her today.
Okay.
As soon as I get off the line, I'm getting my book with her telephone number right now.
Okay.
I'm going to get my book right now. Go ahead and pray for people and stuff and pray for Mother Irene. I'm getting my book right now.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This morning, our most gracious and holy Father, we thank you today, God, for your mercy. We thank you, Father, for your grace. We thank you, Father, for your understanding. Lord, you told us in your word that they that worship you must worship you in spirit and in truth. And right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for being the light of this world, Father. We thank you, O God. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? And Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we cast down fear and stronghold. For every name that the apostle called to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift them up in the name of Jesus, Lord. We cast down those strongholds. We bind that fear in the name of Jesus. You said, oh God, in the name of Jesus, whatsoever we bind in earth, that you're bounded in heaven. And whatsoever we loose in earth, you're loosed in heaven. And Father, we loose peace. We loose meekness. We loose humbleness. We loose kindness. We loose hope. We loose joy. Lord, we say thank you right now, Father. We loose salvation. Lord, we just say thank you right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. For you said in your word, Father, in Psalms 84:11, for the Lord God, hallelujah, for the Lord God is a sun, and should the Lord will give grace and glory, no good thing will be withheld from them that walk upright. And Father, right now in the name of Jesus, as we continue to walk upright,
as we continue to lift you up, God. You said no good thing will be held from us. And, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said call it back to your remembrance. So, God, I read your word to you as I have called it back to your remembrance that you said no good thing, Father. So whatever they put their hand to, God, whatever their need is today, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, being that it be a good thing, Father, that you will release it to them, God, in the name of Jesus, knowing, God, that you will get the glory out of all of our lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. For you said in your word, Father, in Isaiah 60 and 20, the sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Let there be no more mourning. And we know that the evangelist Baxter is on her way to the hospital, God, to lay hands on the sick, Father. Let her come through, oh God. We touch and agree with the evangelist Baxter this morning, Father, as she's on her way to the hospital to lay hands, God, in the name of Jesus, so that those tubes and those machines may be removed, Father, in the name of Jesus. We know, God, that that machine is not keeping her alive. My Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, oh God, to put a hand on death and tell death to behave this morning, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we say thank you, and we rebuke death right now, God, that your will be done and perfected in her life today, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we say thank you, God, as we rejoice and be glad in you, oh God, that you will get the glory out of this young lady's life. And God, in the name of Jesus, we say thank you for Evangelist Baxter this morning as she go out to do a great work. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to cover her children, Father. Bless Sister Christine, God, and her children, God. Cover them, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless the children today, God. Lord, we say thank you for Sister Christine today. Have mercy on her, God. Lay your hands on her, Jesus, in every area in her life, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that she needs you, God. We ask you to perfect it right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, we come to Mother Irene. I ask you to watch over her, oh God. We don't know what the situation or the circumstance is today, God. But, Lord, we ask you right now, Father, that it be well in the name of Jesus, that all is well, God. Have mercy upon us, oh God. Have mercy upon us, oh God. And right now, Father, we thank you right now for Pastor Marcella. Lord, bless Pastor Marcella in the home today, God. Bless her family, God. Remove that heavy weight. Remove that burden from her, oh God. In the name of Jesus, you said you would send a comforter back. And Lord, we thank you right now, oh God, that you would just cover her right now, oh God. Empower her with your love, God. Knowing that there's hope right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for her right now, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Keisha and Kiet today, Father. We lift them up and ask for Keisha to go to and fro to the physician's office, God. We ask you to take care of the seed that is within her, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We just ask you to bless right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that there be a complete, a full field development, Father, in the name of Jesus. No harm, hurt, or danger shall come to them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just say thank you for Sister Kiet this morning, oh God. Bless her life, oh God. Bless the ministry that you have placed within her, Father. Right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask that you keep your hands upon her today, God. We ask you to bless Sister Eileen today, God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, as she go to and fro throughout this nation, God, seeing about your people, God, we ask that you keep your hands and your arms of protection around her, allowing your angels to go before her, oh God, making her pathway clear and straight, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that she don't walk in any crooked places, God, but that her pathway be straight. Lord, let it be known to her, oh God, open her eyes that she may see, oh God, in the name of Jesus, so that she may perceive the things, oh God, that she is searching for, those things which you have placed in her path, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that the work be not of herself, but the glory to glorify you, God. And, Father, we thank you for Pastor Apostle Callan today, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just bless him right now, God. We ask, oh, God, that you just pour out your blessings of heaven upon him and his wife today, elect Lady Nancy, oh God. Thank you, God, for keeping them right now, God. We thank you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that you are keeping them in perfect peace, oh God. We thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Have mercy upon us, oh God. For you said in your word, oh God, in Colossians 3:22, servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service or man pleasing, but in endless singleness of heart, fearing God. And we know, God, that you have no respect of persons. And we ask you right now, God, even as the apostle desire to please you, Father. He says it not only one time, but all the time, but that is his desire is to please you. As Titus 2:9 says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. And, Father, we thank you for the apostle this morning, that he is an obedient servant and that he comes before the fountain and before the throne of grace to give us and to feed us with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that we may grow, Father, so that you may get the glory of his life, God. He's not self-exalting, Father, but we say thank you that you get the glory of his life, Father. And as we depart from this life, Father, we thank you for the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel today, Father.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we thank you today, God, that as we depart from this line and not your presence, David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. David said, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for those blessings today, God, in the name of Jesus. And whatever it is, God, that's not right in us, oh, God, we ask you to give us a clean heart. David said, create
yes,
me a
Lord.
Clean heart, oh, God, and renew the right spirit in me. Lord, we asking you for a clean heart. Give me a clean heart, Lord, so that
clean
I may
heart,
serve
Lord.
Oh, God, for every one of us, oh, God, give us a clean heart so that we
yes,
may be
Lord.
Servants of the Most High God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we want to serve you, Father.
Yes,
we
Lord,
want to serve
Jesus.
You in faithfulness, God. We want to serve you in truth, oh, God. We don't want to just do eye service and lip service, oh, God, but we want to be real about this, Father, and we ask you to transform us in our hearts and our minds today, God. Give us a clean heart, Father. Transform our minds today, God, that we may serve you. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the angels, oh God, that you have dispatched around us, oh God. Bless our going out and bless our coming in, Father, in the name of Jesus. Make every crooked place straight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We say thank you for the traveling grace. Thank you for traveling mercies. Let there be no accident, incidents, mishaps, or perhaps. But God, just be pleasing in your sight that you get the glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Lord, take this number down. Take this number down. If you got a pen, take it down to your hall. If you, whoever can get it fast to give Mother Irene a call today or later today or tonight, I know she will be glad to hear from us. I'm going to give her a call as soon as the line closes down. The number is 901-947-3350. That's 901-947-3350. Please try to give a call today. Okay, I think it would be nice for her. It would lift her spirit up. As soon as this line closed, I will be calling her. I'm not going to let it go another day. I was just so tied up, I didn't get a chance to give a call, but I am going to give a call right as soon as we turn off the line. And as we now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Just tell somebody today, God, love them. You love them, and Jesus is the only way. It is the word, the sermon, I believe, that would free somebody up. Free somebody up to want to live the life that God has already prepared for them even before the foundation of the world. God is not looking at what they've been through. He's looking what they're going to go through because he has something planned for them. Hallelujah. He's not looking at their past. He's looking at their future. And we got to release that word in them. Just like the evangelist said, we can't look at how bad they are. We can't look at how bad what they're going through. We got to look at what they could go through. Hallelujah. They can go through the grace and the mercy of God is prepared for everyone. Everyone that call upon him. He said, everyone that call upon him, he would answer them. Everyone, not some. Don't care what you've been doing, what your lifestyle was. If you call on him, he's going to answer you. And he has given us a voice to just reach out and touch somebody. All of us got to become a good Samaritan, all of us. And we got to be willing and ready to tell somebody about Jesus, okay? I look forward to seeing you all and hearing you all tomorrow morning. I'm going to go ahead and call Mother Irene. Have a blessed day. And whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
You too, Pastor. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you all so much. Love you all. Love you all. Love you, Christina.
Love you, too.
Yes, love you. Thanks for the message this morning, God.